sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW.
Welcome to the party! Oh my God, the fans are coming, Sammy!
NXT.
It's over! The cross is here to ransack NXT souls!
And indie wrestling. It's Wednesday night, Don Omite.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait. And now, your host, Don Tony.
Little odd. Doing a show on a Wednesday night again. Man, it's been a couple of weeks. Good evening, everybody. I hope you are having a great evening or day, depending on where you live. It is Wednesday night, October 27th, 2021. I am Don Tony. Welcome to Wednesday Night Dynamite. And I tell you, I'm having a pretty good day. We just had Dynamite go off the air. Yeah, I know a little bit goofiness at the end. It's Halloween. I mean, look, I remember back in the day going to an ECW show and watching wrestlers dress up as each other and going a little bit out of character, clear-cut hardcore heels going out of character. I still remember November to remember 1995 and Sandman is dancing in the ring. Go, Sandman. Go, Sandman. You know, I'm not saying that wrestlers broke character tonight, but, you know, doing a little Ghostbusters and having Hangman Page as the State Puff Marshmallow Man. I was never a Ghostbuster. I almost said Goldberg. I know a lot of people are like, yeah, you know, you should have said Goldberg. I was never a Ghostbusters fan, to be honest with you. But I thought tonight's show was a lot of fun. And, you know, we're going to talk about it. Before I go any further, shout out to Rojo Bear. Thank you very much for the fiver, the super chat. The main event was harmless fun. Haven't laughed that hard in a long time watching wrestling. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you don't laugh at the garbage that's on a Monday night? That's what a lot of people would tell you. No, look, you know what's amazing? I swear to you, I know he doesn't listen to my work. And I always use the phrase that like minds, great minds think alike. Did you check out Eric Bischoff's latest comments about AEW? Talking about how AEW, for the most part, is not episodic television, that it's more per event, you know, enjoy the night, and it's not like an ongoing, really detailed storyline. Yeah, you might have a storyline that might last 2-3 weeks, or the storyline will happen, and then nothing happens for 2-3 weeks, and then it goes back. I mean, it's pretty awesome to think that a lot of what we said, you know, you hear the experts, the people who have done it, the people who are responsible for me being a fan, to see them making those same remarks. Again, no, I do not believe Eric Bischoff checks out our shows. But it's interesting to see, you know, so many comments like that being repeated by others. You know, even Jim Cornette talking about the Charlotte Becky Lynch stuff from Friday, like, why are people, like, going over the top with this stuff? Seriously. But I tell you, I like when we make predictions and get it right. And I've been doing that for 25 years. Sometimes I legitimately wish that I would be wrong. But if you truly feel that something bad is going to happen, or something negative, that might be the better word, negative is going to happen, are you going to just sugarcoat it and make it seem like epic, amazing, and everything is good, and everything is fine, and not address the issues? Or are you going to be brutally honest and tell it like it is? And honestly, for the entire 25 years of me doing this, I always felt you tell it like it is, whether people want to hear it or not, because that's how you're prepared when things do happen. You know, it's like, boy, I don't want to use this as an example, but you know, one of my friends, you know, right now is not doing very well health-wise. And this guy, you know, just ate what he want, drank what he wanted, excuse me, better English. He would pop, you know, painkillers and drink whiskey with it and stuff like that. And people kept telling him over and over, man, you're getting older. You got to start taking care of your body. You can't do this anymore. It's going to catch up to you. I mean, if you keep doing it, and sure enough, he got a stroke. He's got major health issues now. And, you know, sometimes you got to be told the bitter truth. And I would love to open up talking about Halloween Havoc. And yes, we will in a few moments. And by the way, I keep my promise. I keep my promise. On Monday's show, when we did predictions for Halloween Havoc, I said, do not be surprised if Toxic Attraction goes home with all the gold. And if they do, then I would do a Mandy Rose giveaway on tonight's show. Well, as you saw, Toxic Attraction did go home with all the gold. We will talk about that in a little bit. And we're going to do some Mandy Rose giveaways tonight. You know, I didn't even realize this until somebody told me tonight. Remember all the Tough Enough seasons? Mandy Rose, get this. Mandy Rose is the first female from Tough Enough to become champion. I mean, I didn't stop to like really analyze it and check every season, but as I just looked briefly, I'm like, holy shit, that's actually pretty true. So I know there's a lot of you out there that are fans of Mandy Rose. I mean, Mandy Rose has been in that company for a little while now. And, you know, we appreciate what she's doing. So tonight, we're going to do a giveaway. I thought about it, and we're going to do three giveaways. We'll probably do the same setup like we did on Monday with the Liv Morgan contest and the Jon Moxley book contest. This way, for everybody out there who really doesn't want to stay up late and check out these shows live, or to be honest, they may be tuning into another show live and then they check out my shows on a replay, which is cool. So we'll probably do that format. Stay tuned and, you know, I'll give you the official confirmation that that's how we'll do this contest tonight. But for those that are curious what I'm going to give away, damn, I gave away that Kiss card, that Mandy Rose Kiss card like 3 months ago. You go on eBay now, they're averaging $300 to $350 a piece. Go figure. But anyway, tonight we're going to give this away. We'll do it in three tiers. Well, tonight's contest, I should say. Somebody will win three really awesome looking photos of Mandy Rose with the current dark hair, obviously. Those three photos that you see, top left, top middle, right. Somebody will get that. Somebody will get the Sonya Deville, Mandy Rose dual sign photo, which I think, you know, somebody would probably enjoy. And then someone else will get the actual rookie card signed by Mandy Rose. And yes, it is legit. It is Beckett authenticated. That is, wow, she looks a lot different compared to her signing. Not, she hasn't been in the company that long. But, yeah, somebody's going to win that as well. Autographed rookie card, Beckett authenticated. So we'll do three contests. We'll have three winners. So anyway, I think it's only appropriate that we open up talking about Ring of Honor. And look, I know this Snowden guy, I have nothing against him personally. But I see how he likes to rewrite history. And I honestly don't care about what most people write. The problem is when you see 1,000 people like something that is inaccurate, that's how bullshit becomes fact. When Tony Khan made that remark, trying to compare the current war that, you know, he thinks is going on, to Eric Bischoff wanting to fight Vince McMahon in 1998, and we're not going to revisit that again. We already beat that to death. You know, leaving out the fact that DX showed up at Nitro 2 weeks before, leaving out the fact that Bischoff did that, the hype up Slamboree, which was later on that week, all the stuff that was going on at that time, tit for tat, tit for tat. And it was Snowden who was the person Tony Khan was responding to. And Snowden's like, yeah, right. You know, no, stop rewriting history. I watched this guy write tonight that Ring of Honor never got the love and appreciation and the credit that they deserved. Motherfucker, back in 2002, 2003, 4, 5, 6, 7, we had to beg to get a little bit of press on onewrestling.com, pwspyware.com, pwbts.com. All these fucking feds were hyping up Ring of Honor like the greatest thing alive. And now, because gives some new meaning to it, the final battle. The final battle. What an appropriate name. The final battle. Am I happy Ring of Honor is going out of business? No. No. Some pretty damn awesome people that work for that company. Pretty damn people, awesome people behind the camera, in front of the camera. Nobody wants to see anybody out of work. That's not the case at all. But stop acting shocked, surprised, dismayed. Oh, if you really care about Ring of Honor, you go to the wrestler stores and you buy their shirts right now. Motherfucker, Ring of Honor has had 6 events in 2 years. Almost 2 years. What do you mean? If you really care, go out and buy the shirts. They've done virtually no shows in a year and a half, 2 years. And isn't it funny that the people that write that emotionally cool tweet, wow, that's very thoughtful of you, they themselves never show themselves sporting the merchandise that they're telling everybody else to go buy? So Ring of Honor got too much press back in the day. They got too much press. You know how many indie federations that suffered dearly because of the preferential treatment for Ring of Honor? Here in the Northeast, you would have Mass Maniac USA Pro. You would have this event. You would have this event. This one in Jersey. This one in Philly. This one in Allentown. This one in upstate New York. This one in Westchester. This one in Long Island. This one in Staten Island. This one in Brooklyn. And Ring of Honor would be the one that would get the press, the first page. And then if you finally convince someone to post your promotion, you were on page 12. And then you watch the results, and Mass Maniac, USA Pro Wrestling, drew 1,600 people, and Ring of Honor threw 550. And that's what went on for about 7-8 years. 7-8 years. So don't give me this, Ring of Honor never got the appreciation it deserved. Ring of Honor's been around for 19 years and still averages 500 fans, 600 fans, maybe 1,200 fans, you know, because Ring of Honor, many cases, now I'm heterosexual, so I'll use the heterosexual reference. Ring of Honor is like a chick that you used to date, and she might have had a couple of things that weren't so great about her. She maybe picked her nose, he rubbed her ear. I licked the wrong finger. I don't want anybody to think I did that. You know, maybe have some poor hygiene, a little bit of a nasty bitch. You know, not, things that just you couldn't get along with. And then you break up. You're like, oh, thank God. Thank God. I don't want anyone near. Then what happens? You don't talk. You don't see the person for 4, 5, 6, 7 months. And then you bump into them. Oh, my God, you look great. Holy cow, how's everything going? Hey, and you forget about all of that. You want to meet up? You want to meet up? And then you think everything's going to be different. And then that first meetup again, everything seems amazing. And then the second, the third, the fourth, you're right back to where you were. That's pretty much Ring of Honor for the last last 10 years. Anybody, go on Wiki. And go look at the average number of dates that Ring of Honor has a year. Who in their right mind is going to have an exclusive contract with Ring of Honor to work 6 dates a year? So here's the deal. Plain and simple. When the pandemic started, you and I talked very candidly about companies that would go under, companies that were trying to do the right thing, companies that were paying employees even though they were doing nothing. And although very admirable, when you ain't got it like that, doesn't that sound familiar? We talked about it last Saturday. Last Saturday on the Don Tony Show, I said, what do you all think? Ring of Honor got it like that? MLW got it like that? You don't got it like that. There's no mystery, like, you know, mattress. Holy shit, I forgot I have all this cash hidden under the mattress. Oh my God, break that piggy bank open. They don't have it. They don't have it. And the thing is, COVID last year, almost everybody was forced to shut down. We get it. We get it. When you see promotions that go out of their way to tell the world, I'm talking to wrestling right now, we're going to keep paying our employees. We're going to keep paying our workers, our wrestlers, because it's the right thing to do. Hashtag, do I want to tweet or do I want to eat? At the end of the day, business is business. And you remember when I said several times last year and up until July of this year, I said paying people while COVID is going on is a nice gesture. But when you ain't got it like that and you're not doing anything to pull in revenue, you're not going to get fans to say, you know what? I don't normally think about Ring of Honor. I don't even like Ring of Honor. But because they paid their wrestlers during a pandemic, I'm going to go see them. The fuck is going to do that? You know who's going to do that? The people that were going anyway, but will say that so they could get 50 tweets. Wow, that's pretty cool of you. Yeah, I'm going to go also. Yeah, let's show them. Let's give back because they were so caring about their workers. Are you foolish? If I have a tiny business and I have virtually no money coming in and I look at my bank account and my bank account is very, very low and I have to charge everything and I have a couple of employees and I can't afford to pay them, I'm not going to go on Twitter and say, look, everybody, you know, even though I'm not working right now and even though we have these employees and even though, you know, they're not working either, the right thing for me to do is to keep paying them and this and that. Oh, so nice. Well, now you're fucking going out of business because Sinclair is not stupid. Brian Becerra with the Fiverr Super Chat, loving the show, DT, went to a few shows that Ring of Honor had in the city years ago. Bought some DVDs and hoodies. I have some Ring of Honor DVDs inside. Ring of Honor was not a bad promotion. You know, there was a lot of politics early on, which we've talked about before, but Ring of Honor, it was a good promotion. I mean, they had some huge, huge stars come out of that promotion. I'm not taking away. Look, this is not about the talent. This is not about Joe Koff. This is not about any incidents that have happened recently. This is just straight up common sense that you know that Ring of Honor doesn't have revenue coming in. And here is the most important part of this conversation that nobody is talking about. You'll remember this. We talked in April and we started noticing, you know, Impact is now going to start going back to live fans, but small, starting out small. MLW announcing the return. Go in the search box and just type in ROH. And look at this year's shows. You will find it in the synopsis. And you see all these feds starting to build back, but slow. And the one fed that seemed to be on the sidelines during all this is Ring of Honor. Do you think it's hard to call a Knights of Columbus, you know, in some little rec center and say, hey, you know, we're interested in doing a wrestling show at your venue, especially Knights of Columbus. So when you see all these feds returning the shows and Ring of Honor says, We're reimagining, reorganizing, revisiting. We are, and you know what the worst part is? And I feel bad. I feel bad. But the worst part of it is this. This is the press release that was issued today. Throughout the pandemic, our top priority was to keep everybody healthy and safe. And despite not producing any live events over 18 months, we were able to keep everyone fully contracted. We now find ourselves at a time where we need to make changes to our business operations and planning a pivot for Ring of Honor with a new mission and strategy. The year will culminate with a final battle in December, and then we will be taking the first quarter of 2022 to work internally to reimagine Ring of Honor. Somebody follows politics. Reimagine healthcare. Reimagine the border. Reimagine this. Reimagine is a cute word that is pretty much trying to cover up the facts. Ring of Honor has the most dedicated fans in the industry, all 550 on average. I added that. And we appreciate their loyalty and patience as we reconceptualize Ring of Honor. We anticipate returning to live events in April for the Supercard of Honor with a new fan-focused product and providing a unique experience for wrestling fans. Interpretation. They're going to be what they should have been many, 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 many years ago. Small indie fed. Small indie fed. Do I think Ring of Honor will never do shows again beyond 2021? No, I think Ring of Honor in some capacity will still be around. But let's be honest here. Everybody was working. Do you remember the Baltimore tapings where people were confined to hotels? And then you had another promotion. We hired this medical blah, 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 blah that's going to make sure institute this, institute that. Get fucking tested. You're not having live fans. You test everybody. You wait a day or two. You test them again. You do your tapings and you take them home. If you're that goddamn paranoid, then you send them right to the hotel. We're going to pay you, but you got to go right to the hotel. You can't do nothing else. Everybody else seemed to be fine. So when April, May started coming around and everybody else is starting to rebuild, and Ring of Honor is still making this throughout the pandemic. We paid all our employees throughout the pandemic. Safety and private, you know, safety number one. What promotion out there was not using safety number one? Seriously. I mean, look at this press release again. The first words, throughout the pandemic, our top priority is to keep everybody healthy and safe. Sure, if you don't run shows, of course all your employees are going to be safe. They ain't at your shows. They ain't in your building. Gee, I know how to keep everybody safe. Nobody come over. Ring of Honor has unfortunately been the number one biggest casualty from the pandemic, period. And there are going to be other promotions. How many months have I been saying on these shows that by the end of 2021, this supposed forbidden door will, for in a very weird way, close? How many times did I, if I had a dollar every time I said that this year, be able to buy Starbucks? I mean, but seriously, I mean, what do you mean this forbidden door is suddenly closing, that no longer AEW, because what happened last year was simple. This is what happened last year. And this is the truth, and no one else is going to say it. Last year in October or September, whichever month it was, you had the meeting with the five families, NWA, MLW, AEW, maybe AAA. I don't know if they had an, you know, whatever, whoever it is. They all met. And look, COVID is kicking our asses. So how's about for the next year, until this pandemic gets more under control, we work with each other. AEW, you obviously don't need us, whatever promotion it is. You don't need us, but, you know, it would be cool. Maybe we can have one of our titles defended on some of your shows. And in return, you know, you can have some of the talent and we'll split the costs. That's why it was so freaking one-sided. And you realize that within a month, with Impact Wrestling and AEW more than anything else. You noticed early on some NWA wrestlers showing up on AEW, you know, and then suddenly they signed with AEW and they never went back to NWA again. Well, you know why Ring of Honor was not part of those meetings? Ring of Honor was not interested in going back to shows. Sinclair was not interested in going back and trying to run shows or trying to do this. They weren't interested in it. That's why Ring of Honor stood by the sidelines and everybody else was making an attempt to recover. And unfortunately, you could announce a return to the former ECW arena and get 1,200 people, and people from that show are all tweeting and they're teary-eyed and choked up and this and that. It's so good to be back and this and that. And they were truly, honestly, you know, legitimately serious about how they were feeling. You forget Sinclair is running the show. Sinclair don't need Ring of Honor. And not for nothing, all these fans, all 600 of you on average, you don't see the shows getting more viewers. Ratings were shit. The iPay-per-view buy rates, if they were great, there'd be press releases all up your ass. Nobody gave a shit for the most part about Ring of Honor. People cared about the individual wrestlers. People enjoyed it a little bit at their leisure. But when it came down to spending the money, there were too many other choices. AEW, NWA, Impact Wrestling, you know, just to name a couple. And Ring of Honor sat by the sidelines and did nothing. And some wrestlers signed with them because they thought that Ring of Honor was going to be coming back and starting to have regular shows and they could get an opportunity and be a big fish in a little pond. And guess what? It didn't happen. That is why Ring of Honor is pretty much, I mean, I don't want to say it feels like ECW 2000/2001, because Sinclair is not, you know, in that much debt when it comes to Ring of Honor. Just the fact of the matter is, they never, we're not stupid. Perception is reality in a lot of ways. And most of you out there were watching all these other feds trying to make a return, trying to make a return, trying to work on this. And every time you heard about Ring of Honor, we value safety of our employees first and foremost. Throughout the pandemic, we did this. Throughout the pandemic, we did this. Throughout the pandemic, we did this. You open up with pandemic. Every press release, pandemic. Everybody's been doing that. Everybody's been trying to make it work. Everybody's been struggling. Everybody's been trying to be safe. Nothing different with Ring of Honor. That was to try to ease the blow. Guys, gals, since this pandemic started and the amount of the people that show up and the amount of the people that buy the iPay-per-views and the amount of people that buy our merchandise, it's just not fucking worth us to do all this extra protocol. It's expensive to have all this extra protocol. Yes, it's a tax write-off, but you think Sinclair needs this little write-off for 50 COVID tests for Ring of Honor wrestlers? Sinclair is worth billions. Think they're going to care about that? No. So there were a lot of people in Ring of Honor, and this is honest, my honest views. A lot of people in Ring of Honor wanted Ring of Honor to do more. As much as people dislike Joe Koff, and I've given him my criticisms over the years, that guy truly was trying to get things off the ground again. Problem is, when you have to answer to a higher-up, and the higher-up says, nah, not right now. It gets to a point where, you know, things come to a boiling point. And did you notice today, the latest press release, I didn't even get a chance to screenshot it. Due to technical difficulties, their regularly scheduled show this week will not air. Instead, you will get the best of Jay Lethal or something like that. Ring of Honor has been dead in the water for a very long time. And a lot of people just chose to ignore it. Or what's unfortunate in this day and age, they just chose to make people feel good. Oh, how admirable that you're paying all your workers. When you ain't got it like that, sorry, it's not cold to turn around and say, look, we don't have any money coming in. Unfortunately, we cannot pay our wrestlers. Unfortunately, we cannot pay our talent right now. If our talent wants to still be a part of Ring of Honor and pause their contract, if they find work elsewhere and ink a deal elsewhere, we will let them out of their contract. But right now, and this should have been in 2020, right now, because we're on hiatus, because of what's going on, unfortunately, we cannot pay our employees, but we are giving them the opportunity that if they want to work elsewhere, they can. And if they still want to be part of Ring of Honor and put their contract on hold, and if we resume normal business in 2021 or 2022, we would welcome that. In the process, like Ricky Starks. Ricky Starks ended up signing with AEW. Thunder Rose ended up signing with AEW. You had other people that signed with other companies, but they didn't do that. They tried to come off that, oh, we're honor. We paid everybody despite this. You don't think that was part of a tax write-off for Sinclair? So when you ain't got it like that and you're not planning to do anything to try to get it, this is what happens. So that's why the press releases always have to be a reminder on how good they are and all the safety that they did and how just to this. Unfortunately, that don't pay the bills. That's why I always use the hashtag, do I want to tweet or do I want to eat? There are people out there that just live on social media to take in the 50, 100, 150 likes. I feel good. I feel wanted. I feel important. But you can't even pay a cable bill because unfortunately you don't get paid by the tweet. And Ring of Honor is not getting paid based on good gesture. That's the facts. That's the fact, Jack. I hope Ring of Honor could get new ownership. Seriously. I know a lot of you out there said, oh, Tony Khan, you should buy Ring of Honor. You should sign a bunch of people. I don't know if Cody's I Hear You tweet was about Ring of Honor. Do you realize how many people on the AEW roster that is not used on a regular basis because they got too many fucking people as it is? And now you're, I hear you. I hear you. It's a nice gesture. Start releasing some of the people that you're not using. And let me tell you something. This is something that you've heard me say before. I'm going to say it again now. Remember this because no other show is telling you this. Soon enough, the AEW contracts are going to hit Black Mass. These deals that, oh, instead of you getting paid $300,000 from WWE, we'll pay you $60,000. But you could Twitch, you could stream, you could sell your merch, you could work here, you could work there, you could work everywhere, as long as it doesn't interfere with our schedule. And that's great. When those contracts come up and these people can't go to other places, and they want to get a new deal, and WWE goes to someone and says, hey, we'll offer you $300,000. Oh, you know what? Since you didn't sign with us last time, we'll give you $250,000 instead. And you go back to Tony Khan. Hey, Tony, just do what Scott Hall and Kevin Nash wanted in the 90s. Just match it. Yeah, but your contract was based on being able to do this and this and this and this and this. So all these Ring of Honor people that are going to sign a deal, what do you think Tony Khan's going to do? Sign with us, and you'll be able to work GCW. You'll be able to work this place, this place, this place, this place, this place. Oh, I'm all elite. When that contract comes up, and some of those other companies aren't using them anymore, or maybe Twitch doesn't pay as much as they used to, and then these people start demanding, you watch how those contracts get exposed. Tony Khan is a very smart businessman, and I commend that guy. But for anyone out there that thinks that the AEW contracts is a variation of WWE's, oh my God, you have no idea. You have no idea. Do you really think that you'd be able to have that much freedom to do other things and be contractually obligated pretty much for AEW to get paid that way? Holy shit. When these contracts start coming up for renewal, whew. So right now for the next 2 years, I would say about 2 years, I think AEW will be fine. Xander Elian, welcome to the family, my friend. Thank you for becoming a channel member. But AEW, I think for the next 2 years, will be just fine when it comes to contracts. I'm not in any way saying that AEW is going to have problems 2 years from now. All I'm saying is that sooner or later, the details about these contracts is going to get exposed wide open. And then when people understand how AEW is able to sign this many people, you know, even though they're not using a lot of people, 10 was in a tournament tonight. Other than a tag match here and there, give me one legitimate reason why 10 out of 80 people on that roster should be in a heavyweight eliminator title tournament featuring some of the elite of the elite. We'll put 10 in there. Of course, Moxley was going to eat him up and spit him out in 60 seconds. But even the perception of it, 10. I'm not saying the guy's not a bad guy. You look at all these people. You look at some of the other wrestlers, some of the tag teams, the ones that are just stuck on, Abaddon is getting a match Friday, Trick or Treat Street Fight. If she wins the match, she could get a future title shot against Britt Baker. No DQ. Something tells me that Britt Baker is going to win that match. And even if Abaddon were to win, when was the last time you saw Abaddon on Dynamite? When was the last time you felt that she got any push whatsoever? What happened to legit? You know, Layla Hirsch. In NWA, she is legit. In AEW, she's treated like shit. Look at Brian Cage. Look how they've used Brian Cage, and I keep bringing it up week after week after week after week so people don't forget. You look at, start thinking about specific people, and, we'll just throw them out there, and then for 3 weeks, we do nothing. That's not episodic television. That is live for the moment. And for a lot of fans out there, that's just fine. As long as I get, you know, my Uber Eats, you know, special fast food delivery every Wednesday night, I'm good. Give me good fast food on a Wednesday night. Not a prepared, home, totally thought out meal. Just give me boom, 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 boom. That's what it is. AEW, and I've used the analogy before, AEW, if you want to compare it to work, WWE is like when you get paid, you put it in the bank, you spend a little, but you try to build for something bigger in the future. AEW, you get paid on a Friday, that money's gone by Saturday. Live for the moment. Live for the moment. Enjoy now. Fuck tomorrow. And that's how AEW does things for the most part. And guess what? A lot of people like that. You have every right to enjoy that formula. Stop comparing AEW to WWE. They handle their shows totally different. By the way, why did the Inner Circle get Pyro for a run-in? I know that might sound nitpicking, but I don't know. You got Guevara getting beat down, and instead of the Inner Circle just running to the ring, the music hits. Okay, music always hits when somebody runs down, but we got to wait for Pyros. By the way, Brandon Cutler, when he was under the horse outfit, and he was in the ring, and obviously he couldn't yell and scream to the Elite, to let him know it was him under the horse's outfit, and he gets the BTE trigger, gets his ass kicked, and they remove the hat, and it's Brandon Cutler, and his mouth is taped. And I'm listening to the announcer say, well, his mouth was taped, so he couldn't yell at the Elite to let him know it was Brandon Cutler. Explain something to me. If the horse's hands were not tied, why didn't Brandon Cutler in the back just lift the horse's head and just rip the tape off? I know I'm maybe nitpicking a little bit, But there were a couple of things tonight that I'm like, all right, come on. I mean, not even a five-year-old, you know, that we'll just leave it as a five-year-old would come up with something kind of goofy like that. Seriously. You know what's also stupid? Because we got to be equal opportunity criticizers. WWE NXT Halloween Havoc yesterday, which I thought was an entertaining show. Not a bad show at all. I talked about this yesterday on Patreon. My favorite moment of last night was when Imperium cut a promo in the back live on NXT. They cut a live promo in the back talking in Austrian or whatever language they talk, you know, basically saying that they're going to win the belts. And the funny thing about it was live. And the subtitles were popping up before they even said what they said. Go back and watch it. I thought that was pretty hilarious. So, German. You know why I said Austrian? Because Mish said yesterday, oh, they were talking Austrian. Or it might have been somebody on Patreon. German. Thank you, Sofly. So anyway, we talked about Ring of Honor. You know, I think we were very fair. The people that work for Ring of Honor are very good people. They care. They want to see more. Sinclair, I hate to use a really like male phrase, but Sinclair's got them by the balls, seriously. The best thing for Ring of Honor right now is for Sinclair to sell Ring of Honor to someone else and let that other person reimagine Ring of Honor. You know, think about that. I hate that freaking word, reimagine. They use that in politics, and you know how much of bullshit that word is. What do you think they could possibly reinvent that keeps it around? If you can't get, on average, 700 fans at a show right now, if you can't get 20,000 people to watch a TV, if you can't get 3,000 people to buy an iPay-per-view, tell me, what the hell can you reimagine that's going to make it better? They didn't even want to be part of the Forbidden Door from last year. What are they going to do? Too late. I hope Sinclair sells Ring of Honor to someone else, Library included. I don't know if Tony Khan is the right person for that. If Tony Khan were to keep Ring of Honor in business and keep it as a separate company, even if it was in some way a developmental or maybe a promotion where some of their workers can get extra work, you know, and want to use the Library and the streaming service and try to get some coin off of it, all right, that's possible. But to turn around and say, ooh, let me sign this person. And that, like, remember, think of AEW like playing Monopoly. There's a reason why you start with the money that you start. Because when you're going around the Monopoly board and you decide that you're going to spend all your money on the railroads and Park Place, there's a reason why for like the next 10, 20, 30 minutes, you can't buy nothing. You just hope to get community chest and collect rent. But with AEW, you know, you're playing Monopoly. It's like the goofy referees there. At the very end, you have Hangman Page doing everything that he's doing in the ring. I swear to God, look at the goddamn AEW referee. He's like this. Like he's picking food out of his teeth. He's got his hands over his eyes. I know it's nitpicking, but come on, man. You play Monopoly. Tony Khan thinks, no, give me all the money. That's it, all the money. I start with all the money. Give me Lethal Railroad. Give me Jonathan Gresham Place. Ooh, give me Kanellis Park and Maria Place. What is that? Give me all the properties because I'm AEW. Go leave, yeah. We'll not acknowledge him tonight. No. By the way, little announcement. I know a lot of you out there truly give a shit about, and now we will get into Dynamite in a little detail. WWE NXT Halloween Havoc, and then we are done for tonight. So we're at 45 minutes. That gives me another 45 minutes to get into everything else. Don't forget, tomorrow night, right here, live stream, Q&A, live chat, live calls all night long. We're not doing retro wrestling tomorrow. We're not eating any old 25-year-old Goldberg gum tomorrow. Sean KB, thank you for the Fiverr super chat. The Ring of Honor library, including All In, is valuable. You know, dude, what an awesome point. You remember when All In happened? Everybody and their mother, and this is where I give credit to so many shows out there, because at the time, they weren't in the back pocket for AEW. Ring of Honor got fucked, in my opinion, in more ways than one. Because without Ring of Honor, in my opinion, All In does not go down. And if you don't know about Ring of Honor's involvement with All In, find some articles out there that talked about it. I think you would be very surprised. That's why it almost feels, and we're going to move on from Ring of Honor now, but I got to say this, because it's a little controversial. It's a little controversial, but Sean KB might have just been onto something. If you remember All In and how Ring of Honor got the shit end of the stick out of that, when Tony Khan and the Five Families a year ago all got together and decided they're going to work with each other to get through the pandemic for the next year, and then a year from now, which would have been November, you know, if we still want to do stuff, we can, but we're not obligated to. So would not be surprising if we find out that if Ring of Honor was invited to get a seat to the table, that Ring of Honor or Sinclair might have been like, what are you fucking kidding me? We're not doing business with that fucking company after what happened with All In. What, so they can fucking take advantage of us again? That might be the reason why Ring of Honor was not part of the quote-unquote forbidden door. There might still be a boatload of bitterness from All In. That could very well be. Sean, you may be onto something with that. Seriously. Anyway, so tomorrow, tune in, 10:05 p.m. It's going to be pretty awesome. If I could give you a very quick announcement, I posted this on Twitter earlier today. For everybody on video, just read it. For my audio-only friends out there, I basically said simply, sorry for jumping the gun, but there's many of you out there that have stood by me since day one, believe it or not. It's pretty damn cool that after 24, almost 25 years, I am being offered a contract to do what I love to do here. So I cannot tease any more about it until it's official. But today there was a follow-up meeting, and a contract was offered to me, and I have accepted it. So I have not signed papers yet, but I promise you, when it goes down, look, as far as the shows, the only thing that's going to change, a couple of things are going to change. Number one, the shows will be a little bit shorter because the goal is to do 90 minutes per. Even if I have to add an additional show for an hour, if we have something that we really need to get into, we will do some impromptu shows if news breaks, but the shows will be a little bit shorter, and I know a lot of people like that. Also, going forward, when you stream these shows live on Facebook and Twitter and Twitch and some other outlets out there, once the live show is over, that's it. The live show will not still be available on stream. Like if you go to my Twitter account, you could still watch on my Twitter the stream from earlier this week, the stream from last week, the stream from 3 months ago. Once the shows end, that live stream that was online is taken down because everything is going to be through this particular network. But you'll still be able to access the shows on iTunes like you did before or another place or my website, but everything will be going through that base. So, you know, after all of these years, to actually have a contract being presented, I never in a million years that would think that would ever happen. There were opportunities over the years that I didn't pursue for obvious reasons, and a few people that lied, you know, promised the world and really gave nothing. But this here, when I announce it, and the cool thing about it is when you see the other wrestling shows that I'm surrounded by, I don't want to say royalty, but I will say some of the elite of the elite. Every show everybody is legit. Blue check marks. I know, you know, I mean, I will be part of that family. I don't even think that they're aware of it. And honestly, I'm sure they don't care. But there's only maybe a half a dozen wrestling shows. I mean, so it's going to be, you know, it's going to be interesting. I'm going to feel like Maven for a little while. You remember when Maven, like, teamed up with, like, Evolution or something? And you look at it, and, like, Maven with Evolution, which something is, just doesn't seem right here. That's what I'm going to feel like on that network. But they're actually going to be handling my artwork. They're going to be handling my commercials. They're going to be handling everything. All I got to do is tighten up the ship, be reliable, and give you shows that you enjoy. We will have guests. We will be collaborating with some other shows out there. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So enough of the self-promotion. By the way, I got to make this comment before we get back to Dynamite. What a difference 3 weeks makes. And I'm talking more about the NXT side. NXT 2.0 officially began only 3 weeks ago. And that was the photo thumbnail from 3 weeks ago. Mandy Rose having a different look. Harland with his head shaved bald. Tony D'Angelo makes his debut. We get that first confrontation with Ciampa and Bron Breakker. And 3 weeks later, it seems like every single person that we mentioned, their stock has risen quite a bit. Pretty freaking cool in only 3 weeks' time, right? Xander Elian, I think I'm going to disappoint you, my friend. What are my thoughts on Greg Hamilton's release from the WWE and the West Side Gun controversy? Okay, I'll say it like this. There's a saying that I have been repeating on these shows for 25 years. I say it almost every week. I don't want to be first. I want to be right. I sat back yesterday and watched a boatload of goofs trying to claim that Greg Hamilton's release was because of him threatening to sue a rapper for putting like his voice on his rap song and using that as the reason. Had nothing to do with it. It was Greg Hamilton wanted, I don't want to say more money, but Greg Hamilton and WWE mutually parted ways. You know, WWE wanted to go in one direction. Greg Hamilton wanted to go in a different direction. And they left on very good terms. He did not get fired. It had nothing to do with this controversy. Sure, Greg Hamilton, the timing looked suspicious. But everybody out there just assumed that that was the reason why. And guess what? Just like a lot of those people that said, breaking news, the Bron Breakker era of NXT will officially begin tonight at Halloween Havoc. That the old era of Triple H in the form of Tommaso Ciampa will be retired and will be officially dead. And Triple H, just like his heart, will be damaged forever. That's what stupid people were saying yesterday. The same people that were saying that Greg Hamilton got released because of something with a rapper. Not true. Not true. Oh, yeah, Chris. I've been saying since day one that Gigi Dolin has those Paige vibes. She's got those Paige vibes. I know different color hair, but she's got that look. I don't know, that same feeling I used to get with Paige when she first came into the company. By the way, I have somebody trying to get me a triple signed photo of Toxic Attraction. They have not done a triple signed photo yet. But one is going to be released in the very near future. Soon as I get my hands on a few, I will definitely be giving a few away. So I'm already on top of it that people are like, man, I would love a autographed photo of Toxic Attraction signed by all three. So that is coming. That is coming. So let's get back to Dynamite tonight. Fun show. I honestly thought tonight was a lot easier to watch than recent weeks. You know, once again, they try to put everybody on the show, even if it's a non-wrestling capacity, but remember that Rampage is being taped. So even though we may not have gotten Daniel Bryan wrestling on TV today, fans will still get Daniel Bryan because he's wrestling against Eddie Kingston for Rampage. You know, so some of the wrestlers that did not perform on Dynamite, the fans are still getting them live. So you remember last week I said that AEW needs to start pulling back on the level of, you know, wrestlers that perform on their shows. I mean, talk about smoke and mirrors. It never even fazed me. When I heard the commercial tonight CM Punk wrestles for the first time on Dynamite, I'm like, huh? Holy shit, tonight was the first time that CM Punk has ever wrestled on Dynamite. I mean, you know, you look at the way they used him. I mean, his match with Bobby Fish tonight was a lot of fun. For me, that's more of a match that should be for an indie fed. You know, Bobby Fish, for no reason at all, decides he wants to attack Anthony Green and turns heel last week. And CM Punk runs to Anthony Green's rescue. For what? Anthony Green was so thankful for it. Anthony Green was nowhere to be found tonight. CM Punk must have been out trying to get some ice cream last week because Jungle Boy, everybody let Jungle Boy get killed from the Elite. You know, it just seems like things just randomly. And you know what I freaking hate? I know it's all scripted and I know it's already planned, but I freaking hate like what went down tonight. I'll give you a perfect example of it. Let me pull it up. Next week, well, before I even say it, and I look, we jump back and forth a little bit. Cody came out towards the end of the show tonight, cuts the John Cena promo. You could cheer, you can boo, blah, 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 blah. I got a smoking wife, and blah, 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 and this, and that, and I care about you, and my brother is a Hall of Famer, and this, and that. It felt like a John Cena promo. He gets interrupted by Andrade. Your tattoo is stupid. I'm going to kick your ass. Blah, 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 blah. And earlier in the night, Malakai Black, I almost said Aleister Black. Malakai Black cut an awesome promo. Something that he said on social media last week. It's not about pins or submissions. You know, Malakai Black is about splitting the Nightmare family, trying to cause chaos in Cody's life. So Malakai Black succeeded in what he did. So Andrade comes out and he's bad-mouthing Cody. And next thing you know, the lights go out. When they come back on, Malakai Black is in the ring. He spits the mist into Cody's eyes. They start beating down Cody, and Pac makes the save. All right, fine. Segment actually was a lot better than I expected it to be. What I freaking hate is, I swear to you, I'm not exaggerating, you couldn't even count to five. The minute Pac makes the save, Tony Schiavone is like, we just got this from Tony Khan. Next week, Andrade El Idolo versus Cody on Dynamite. Literally 3 seconds later, we just got word from Tony Khan. They got the graphic made. Literally, seriously. I think if Cody would have burped in the middle of the ring before the burp was even finished, Tony told Tony, next week, Cody versus Andrade, Idolo, put the graphic and everything. Oh my God, be a fucking little bit more creative. Wait 5 minutes, 10 minutes, go to commercial break. During a commercial break, we were notified by Tony Khan that the match is going to happen next week. It's like if Dynamite was pre-recorded and the commentators would come on like at different parts of the show live and say, based on what you just saw, next week, that's fine. But to turn around literally in 3 seconds, I have farted longer during those times. Seriously, think I'm kidding? Go back and watch it. So next week, we got Cody versus Andrade. Ooh. I like Moxley starting to turn heel, showing the viciousness. I like it. I even liked when he was coming out for his match, that guy got in his way and he just shoved the guy out of the way. I like it.
time.
I like Moxley's I don't give a shit anymore attitude. It's work. It's going to work. It's going to be interesting to see who crossed paths with Moxley once all this is done with the tournament. Yeah, he I don't like using killed, but he murdered 10 on that match tonight. Moxley acting like he was biting 10. And if you looked at 10, you know, he just like trying to hold his, you know, head, like, what is that biting me? And it looked good. I cannot complain at all about that match. Very, very quick. And if you noticed tonight, there were some very, very fast matches tonight. MJF. And, oh, and by the way, MJF, Bryce. Yes, I was thinking of the other, the referee, Bryce. Bryce Donovan. He's the one that lost to MJF. Yes, he got no offense in whatsoever, but believe it or not, Bryce is actually from our neck of the woods. In fact, that wrestling federation that I used to work for, VPW, he was very much featured in that promotion for a couple of years. So, you know, big shout out to Bryce Donovan. I know a majority of you out there have never heard of the guy. And you know what? Shout out to Crazy Cruiserweight because he actually sent this to me earlier. Even though he doesn't watch AEW, he read that Bryce Donovan was on AEW. He's from our neck of the woods. And he was the one that faced MJF tonight. So very, very cool. Very cool. And Cruiserweight's got one of his shirts also. So he's very well liked from this neck of the woods. And hey, if he drove all the way to Boston for that opportunity, pretty cool, man. Pretty cool. Shout out to Bryce. Speaking of MJF, I mean, that promo, look, if wrestlers over the years were allowed that much freedom to say some of the things that MJF said, you would have some monster heels, or some heels would be even bigger, legendary monsters. The closest that comes to this is Joel Gertner, the Dudleys. Maybe even a little bit of Taz, but Taz was more about, you know, come here, fat boy, I'll fuck you up. Come on, you piece of shit. Like, that would be more like that. But Gertner and the Dudleys, they would be making fun of the women. You fat fuck, you bitch. You look like, you smell like fish. And it, I mean, they would say some outrageous stuff in ECW. So when you hear MJF cutting these promos, I mean, I give all the credit in the world to MJF, but also keep in the back of your mind that 95% of the promotions out there, you know, would never, never allow that to be said on there. Can you imagine an indie show having someone, you know, start calling some people in the crowd, you know, I wouldn't bang any of these rats over here. They're all fat. You know, how do they say it in Boston? As MJF was saying tonight, what do you fat pigs in Boston say to MJF? Hada, hada, hada. You don't have any idea how much local outrage would be on these indie feds, that people would be so triggered and angered and they would demand apologies and this and that. People have given up with insisting that from MJF because, you know, oh no, AEW, you know, they're different. They're special. They care about everybody. They want equal this. They don't like, you know, people bullying people and putting people down. But when you do it during those 2 hours, it's part of the show. That's Maxwell Jacob Friedman. That's a character. That's not him in real life. He would never say that to someone. That's like watching a movie. When somebody says some outrageous stuff in a movie, it's the movie. But once the movie is over, stuff like that is not, that's their way out of it. That's the way out of it. But MJF, him saying that stuff, I find it hilarious. Hada, hada. I honestly, not for nothing, man, I knew a girl that used to live in Boston, and she had that deep, deep, deep accent. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, if I was like getting down and dirty, you know, if she just started saying, oh, hada, 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 talk fucking English, please. Hada. Even though a lot of you had to make fun of my accent because I'm from New York, obviously. But MJF cutting that promo and then, you know, we get Sting comes out there. He beats up on Wardlow, Sean Spears, Darby Allin with that video montage that some performer concert looked like a house party. And somebody comes out with a MJF picture like taped over his face. And he's giving everybody the finger, and whoever the rapper was, anybody know who the performer was? He's like, is that MJF? And then Darby Allin comes out and just wails him. And basically Darby Allin says, now it's time to physically abuse MJF. And he throws out the challenge to MJF in full gear. And he had the skateboard with the thumbtacks. And if you look closely, when he hit Wardlow in the back, Wardlow had a couple of thumbtacks stuck to that shirt. So very, very good segment. Very good segment. I enjoyed it very much. The card for Full Gear is starting to shape up as pretty damn good card. I mean, it's solid. It really is going to be solid from up and down. Harris B. thinks that was JPEG Mafia, who is a friend of Darby Allin. You could very well be right. And I'd be lying if I said to you that I have ever heard of JPEG Mafia before. So I will take your word for it. I will take your word for it. Guevara versus Ethan Page was excellent. Wasn't my favorite match of the night, but it was excellent. The problem I had with this match was once again adding one too many stipulations. Just leave it. TNT championship match. If you lose the title, Ethan Page is the champion. If you win the match, then you could pick the three members of the All America's team or whatever that shit is, America's top team, excuse me. Just leave it at that. When you got to add, if he loses, he leaves the inner circle. You know that's not happening. Why even put something like that out there? Why put such a ridiculous 2 weeks before a pay-per-view? Why even put a ridiculous stipulation like that? That pretty much gives, we all knew Guevara is retaining. But when you add a stipulation like that, you know, people are like, oh, okay, well, there's no way he's going to leave the inner circle, so obviously he's going to win. So, you know, the match was great, but that kind of took away from it. Now, the Guevara wins, awesome match. Then he gets beat down, you know, by Scorpio Sky. And that's when we heard the Inner Circle music, Jericho's music. And then we got Pyro's for a run-in, which was kind of really goofy. But Jericho, you know, cutting another badass promo as always. And what the hell did he say? I actually wrote it down. He said that it's going to be a Minneapolis street fight at Full Gear. And they can't wait to get the kendo sticks, stick it so far up those MMA assholes, their asses, that they're going to turn into MMA meatsicles. And he says, tell that pumpkin-headed dipshit to be at Dynamite next week, because next week the Inner Circle are going to choose the three members of America's top team that are going to team up with Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page. Now, the funny thing is, I don't know if you all heard about this, what was her name? Kayla Harrison. Remember the chick from America's Top Team? Remember that chick? Didn't like Jericho say something like who's on top or whatever? Something like that. I don't remember what it was. Well, if you notice, she will not be one of the persons considered for this 5-on-5 at Full Gear. She did an interview with Jim Varsalone. And about her appearance on AEW Dynamite, she said this, and I quote, I mean, yeah, do you have fun when you go pick on the little kid at the playground? Sure. Secretly, you have a little bit of fun. It's so easy. It's just a bunch of nerds and losers who could not hack it in my sport, so they decided to go and do a fake sport. I can't believe I let Dan Lambert talk me into it. It's just boring. It would be too easy to crush them. Obviously, I would be great at whatever I do, but this is what I told Dan Lambert, and don't get upset, but I have worked my whole life to get out of the trailer park, so why would I want to be the entertainment for the trailer park? I'm sorry, AEW. It's just that I do a real sport with real winners and losers, and it's not scripted. No one is going to tell me whose ass I'm going to kick, if I'm going to kiss, and I'm going to kiss whose ass I want to kick. Tony Khan's not going to tell me what to do. Dan Lambert's not going to tell me what to do. Go ask the other yahoos who keep coming back for more. I'm done. It's so stupid. It's so silly. So she will not be part of America's top team for this pay-per-view. I think that's easy to say. We mentioned briefly earlier about CM Punk versus Bobby Fish. I tell you, if you really dissect CM Punch, I still have Jim Ross on the brain early when he called to go to sleep the GPS. CM Punk, he located the target. He nailed him with the GPS. I love Jim Ross. Best wishes to him again, my friend. You know, we talked about it on Saturday and on Monday. You know, he's been diagnosed with skin cancer. So, you know, hopefully that's not something that is spread to other parts of his body. So we do keep Jim in our prayers. The guy is so good. He is allowed to make mistakes, in my opinion. So CM Punk has a match with Bobby Fish. And if you really dissect CM Punk's matches since he has been back, I think his match versus Daniel Garcia is probably the best one of them all. The match with Bobby Fish tonight, although it had fun moments, I thought this was CM Punk's weakest match since he has been back. And, you know, I understand, you know, the psychology part of what CM Punk does, and he sells, you know, injuries really, really well in the ring. But man, at that very end, when he hit the go to sleep on Bobby Fish, and you could have counted to five, maybe even more before he went for the pin, Bobby Fish kicked out literally at the three count. And it didn't look good on TV. You know, I know people that were trying to cover it up. They're like, oh, he kicked out just 1/100 of 1 second too late. No, it almost looked like Bobby Fish was like, yo, man, you know, fucking come and pin me a little bit quicker next time. I mean, I'm not saying that Bobby Fish was not being a team player there, but it just, they seemed out of sync in a lot of ways. I mean, it really did. I mean, I will continue saying that CM Punk is one of the best wrestlers of this generation, maybe even top 10. Definite future Hall of Famer if he's willing to accept the Hall of Fame induction. Doesn't have to be WWE, obviously. The guy has been at the top of his game for years and years and years. Everybody ages. Everybody misses a step. Everybody loses a step. I will still say that Roman Reigns was very unfair to say that about CM Punk and admit that he only seen a clip or two. If you watch all of CM Punk's work since he's been back and then say, seems like he's lost a step. All right, that's not being disrespectful, because at least you show that you watched everything that he does. You're curious, you're invested, you want to see, you know, as a fellow wrestler, whether you like each other or not. But to turn around and, you know, publicly admit, I've only seen a clip or two. Well, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people out there that'll make sure the only clip that you see is not a very good one. So CM Punk, because he's older, because he's gone for 7 years, he's definitely lost a little bit. That's fine. Sting has lost a little bit. Even when he was in WWE, everybody loses a little bit when they get older. Everybody loses a little bit. But CM Punk can still deliver enough where it doesn't seem like he has to ice his body for the next 2 weeks after he has a match. The guy can still go. And I truthfully believe that he needs more consistent in-ring work to get maybe to that, over that little hump. you know, just doing a run-in, doing some commentary, doing a backstage promo, and then just having one match every 3 weeks. I know it's more contract than anything else, but, you know, when you do get older, you know, being in there is probably even more critical. It's even more important. And when you're still young, you know, it's like riding a bike. You're right back and that's it. You know, a little bit of cardio and you're good. But when you start getting into your 40s and your 50s and you don't do it enough, you know, it's hard to get over that hump. And if you really were being honest about that match with Bobby Fish tonight, it did seem like, you know, I thought this was his weakest match since he's been back in wrestling. My honest opinion. Anyway, my favorite match of the night, Serena Deeb losing to Kara Shida. Kara Shida gets her 50th win. Kara Shida advances in the TBS tournament. This match was excellent. The crowd made sure to let the women know that the match was awesome. I mean, you know that these two could perform on an elite level, pun intended. Why? I mean, Deeb had an injury for a while, which makes sense. But you know Deeb, as far as on being on Dynamite, might wrestle once in the next month. I will bet you the farm that over the next 4 weeks, Serena Deeb will be lucky if she wrestled once. You know, there's no reason why you can't have two women's matches on Dynamite, three women's matches on Dynamite. I mean, why do people give it so much of a pass that you get one match and that's pretty much it? Or if you get a second one, it's usually like a 90-second or two-minute bullshit, you know? They killed it tonight. And they have such awesome chemistry together. I mean, you know, the women's division, and I think this is very important what I'm about to say, the women's division, when it comes to Dynamite, it should be more than just the TBS tournament right now. I mean, I understand Britt Baker will get, you know, Avedon Friday on Rampage, but as far as Dynamite goes, which is your flagship show, which is your show that gets the biggest viewership, right now, for the next 2 months or month and a half, whatever it is, it should not feel like the only women that you pretty much see on Wednesday is the TBS tournament. Oh, I guarantee you we'll probably get a little Britt Baker next week because it's right before the pay-per-view. But for the most part, it seems like they're focusing on the TBS tournament more than anything else. And I think that they should do a little bit more. My honest opinion. You know, not everybody has to have a backstage promo. I mean, some people are having backstage promos that don't need to be having them. Speaking of backstage promos, you know, we had FTR challenge the Lucha Brothers at Full Gear. Now, I know a lot of people were writing online that it was going to be winner take all AAA titles versus AEW titles. Tonight, that was not the case. At Full Gear, Lucha Brothers are going to be defending the AEW tag titles against FTR. No, nothing mentioned about FTR's titles being on the line as well, which almost tells me that's a clear-cut sign that FTR will be losing at Full Gear, because if they were going to win the AEW belts as well, then why not just put the AAA titles on the line, you know, as a way to, you know, just make it so, you know, some of the best storylines are the ones that you can't pick a winner. I agree with you, Mike. I think Jade is one of the front runners to win this TBS tournament. So, main event tonight was the Dark Order. Stu Grayson, Colt Cabana, Evil Uno, and John Silver, they beat the Elite. Notice no more Good Brothers, by the way. They beat the Elite of Kenny Omega, Adam Cole, and the Young Bucks. The main eventers had a little Halloween theme to themselves. Yeah, we've seen this before. We've seen it before. Yes, dressed as Ghostbusters. But, yeah, who remembers this? It's not the first time. It's not the first time, by the way. The Dark Order, this is how they dressed. And I got a particular kick out of Stu Grayson because anybody know what Stu Grayson was trying to be? What he was dressed up as for tonight? Chat room, who is Stu Grayson dressed up as? And don't use your typical answer. No, 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 not God of War, not Kratos. Kratos. Be a little bit more creative. In fact, a free t-shirt tonight for someone who predicts what I'm thinking. Think a little bit harder. Ah, Big Tone, Big Tone. DM me, email me, dontony@dontony.com or DM me on Twitter. I like Big Tone, who could think outside the box. But, yeah, Stu Grayson tonight was Tim Azzo Ciampa. That's as soon as I thought when I saw it, I'm like, oh, he's dressed as Tim Azzo Ciampa tonight. I like the Halloween stuff, man. I know some of the outfits might be a little bit goofy, but it is Halloween. Hangman Page as the State Puff. Is that how you say it? State Puff Marshmallow Man. I never liked Ghostbusters growing up. I mean, even though I was always a big fan of Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, I can't remember the guy who directed Stripes that was also in it too. He passed away not too long ago. Someone in the chat won't remind me his name. But you know, I just never really got into that movie. I think it's because the Atari video game was so awful that I bought the video game before I watched the movie. And the video game was so goddamn awful that I think it kind of like made me bitter about the movie itself. Harold Ramis. Thank you. Thank you, Gordon. Thank you, Kevin. Harold Ramis. But so we've seen members of the Elite dressed up before as Ghostbusters. Hangman Page, you know, first we, you know, I mean, obviously we knew it was him. He revealed it was him. Yeah, yeah. Hey, he moved around pretty good in that costume. Dark Order gets the win. You know, like I said, the only problem I had with that match was the freaking referee. I mean, you go back and you watch it while Hangman Page is attacking the members of the Elite. You go look at that referee, and he's laid out in the corner, and he's literally got his hands over his eyes, and he's picking his teeth. And, I mean, it's just, it's so awful. I mean, why not just roll out of the ring and act a little bit unconscious on the floor, and then you have a member of the Dark Order pick the referee up from the floor and roll him back into the ring, and he looks up, and he's like, whoa, and he pins. Why stand in the corner and look like an absolute moron? But because it's, see, it's State Puffed, but I always call it State Puff. I always use two words for it. But it's Halloween, man. I'm fine with the dress up tonight. You know, I wish we would have had more of the talent, you know, dress in some Halloween outfits. One of my favorite memories with Halloween as far as wrestling, I mean, yes, the first Saturday night's main event, but also, you know, the ECW event when they, you know, did dressed as each other. I mean, that shit was funny. So the Dark Order get the win. Hangman Page disguised at ringside. Everybody thought that it was Brandon Cutler as the State Puffed Marshmallow Man, but it was actually Adam Page. They did the reverse in the back. You know, Cutler got attacked. They took him out of the marshmallow outfit and put him in the horse outfit instead. So everybody thought Hangman Page was under the horse outfit and Cutler was under the marshmallow outfit. So that's how they go off the air. Fun, you know, comedy. 2 weeks from now, we got to see if Hangman Page wins the title. But a very fun episode of Dynamite. Easy viewing. Easy viewing. I mean, honestly, I thought it was a decent episode. Now, last week, remember, Dynamite was on Saturday. So Dynamite did 727,000 viewers, a 22% decline from the previous Saturday, which is not very good. But tonight, they're back on Wednesday night. Do they break a million tonight? Believe it or not, And you know me, I'm usually spot on with ratings. I think tonight they may not break a million. They might be in the mid nines, which is not bad. But I think we had the World Series tonight also. And some of tonight, I don't know if it maintained the audience. I mean, the matches, the ones that needed to be good were good. The ones that didn't need to go long didn't go long. So I thought tonight was easy watching. So in a perfect world, they break a million. But I think realistically, I go at 959, which is not a bad number. It's not a bad number. Now, last night, Halloween Havoc, you know, there was only four matches advertised. And, you know, we'll get into some of the match results. I know a lot of people were not happy at Sokoa not getting a match yesterday. I mean, sure, you know, he just basically beat up on Grayson Waller. And all the wrestlers dressed up in the outfits was fun. You know, they did the cross promotion with the TV show Chucky. And as I said on social media today, you know, not for nothing, but after viewing all of these, I don't know why the box is bigger, but with the exception of the Shotzi Blackheart photos, before I even show it, this is better. That's not very good. It's a little off center, but that's okay. With the exception of the Shotzi Blackheart photos, that doesn't look good, man. Let me fix something. We got to do this the right way because, believe me, it's worth me fixing it. All right, this is where we go. All right. After watching everybody posing with the Chucky photos, with the exception of Shotzi Blackheart's photos, I dislike Chucky more. Yeah, I think you see, yeah. I do not like Chucky. I can't stand Chucky. I didn't like it in the late 90s. You know, I saw the Chucky and the Bride thing. I thought that was kind of funny and cute. My fiance loves Chucky and the Bride of Chucky. But after yesterday with all the posing and this stuff and all these pictures, I'm like, please get fucking Chucky off my screen. And then I see Shotzi posing with Chucky, and I, all right, I can tolerate the Shotzi photos. And I know some of you out there heard the rumors of the character change. I am looking into it. I'm looking into it. So anyway, everybody, it looks like I will be going about 10 minutes over tonight. Not a lot, but, you know, I definitely want to talk about this a little bit. During the night, they were doing skits over at, Dexter Lumis's haunted house. Basically, we had, Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams go to the haunted house and try to regain their championship. And we had skits all throughout the night. I love Lumis's artwork, by the way. But, you know, all throughout the night, we're getting zombies and haunted house. And if you remember Dexter Lumis and Cameron Grimes, was that a year ago or 2 years ago? I think it was last year. I mean, I thought these segments were funny. You know, gave a little bit extra personality to Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes. And obviously this is setting up tag team against each other. In fact, I think they may face each other on NXT next week. But Trick got tricked. Funny segments throughout the night. Now, as far as match results go, the filler yesterday had Joe Gacy beating Malik Blade. And there was one point where Malik Blade went outside the ring, looked up, and Harlan started grabbing him by the neck. And I tell you, Harlan, if you look closely, the guy's getting the facial reactions down. This is what NXT used to be. Developmental, character development, slow burn, letting people learn their craft, hone their craft, improve their craft, not as much pressure, no TV wars, doing your thing, and look at the last 3 weeks. So many people out there insisted that it had to be doom and gloom. that NXT is dead. New name, new this, new that. And if you remember what I said all along, NXT was going back to their roots. Yes, the colors changed, but that's to separate what NXT had become and what NXT is now. It's just, you know, a refresher. They went back to their roots. And if you look in 3 weeks, what they have done, a lot of wrestlers' stock has gone up. Maybe people like Boa and Tian Shaz, or Mei Ying, excuse me, stock has gone down. But for the most part, a lot of people's stock that they have focused have gone up. Carmelo Hayes, up. Trick Williams, up. Bron Breakker in a loss, up. Ciampa is, and I said this 3 weeks ago, Ciampa is the perfect person to have that title right now because Samoa Joe, his interactions were with all the main eventers. It didn't seem like Samoa Joe was the old veteran that was defending the old NXT and having all the young people confront him. No, that's not the direction they went. Tommaso Ciampa's character, even with Timothy Thatcher, was grizzled, veteran, old school, you know, trying to teach a little respect to the young locker room. So Ciampa is the perfect person to be like, you know, the father, you know, of NXT. That's why I always said for the last 3 weeks, he reminds me of what Terry Funk was trying to do for ECW in the 90s, you know, in the mid-90s. So that was one filler match yesterday. Another one which I did not like at all was Roderick Strong. Diamond Mine issued an open challenge, and Odyssey Jones came out to accept that challenge. It was a non-title match against Roderick Strong. Roderick Strong won very quickly, very abruptly. Odyssey Jones is someone that, on the flip side, I don't like what they're doing with him right now. Maybe they feel that Odyssey Jones is way ahead of schedule, so they can take their time and, you know, but Roderick Strong doesn't need a rub from Odyssey Jones. I don't know. I was not feeling that match yesterday. It should have gone a lot further. He's not job material, but Odyssey Jones would not surprise me if Odyssey Jones is in the Royal Rumble. And who knows? Maybe he goes to the main roster. So those were your filler matches yesterday. Yesterday, as far as the main matches go, as you all know already, Gigi Dolin and JC Jane defeated Io Shirai and Zoe Stark along with Indy Hartwell and Persia Perota. Three-way scareway to hell ladder match for the NXT women's tag titles. These women killed themselves in this match. They took a lot of risks. They put their bodies on the line. Yes, it was not the best ladder match. Yes, there were moments that it was like, ugh. But, you know, this is not, we're not watching a video game. So when you see these women bouncing off ladders like pinballs, and you see that a lot of them are going to be in a lot of pain for the foreseeable future, and then people just write it off like, what a fucking train wreck. What the fuck am I watching here? You know, don't watch it. Don't watch it. I thought the match, obviously, the reason why this stipulation, the spin the wheel stuff, was announced in advance is because they needed to prepare for it. Yes, the wheel is rigged, but still, they hyped it up and they needed, you know, to prepare for this. And there were a lot, one of the coolest moves of the night was when Zoe Stark was on the ladder. And I don't remember who pushed her off, but she fell off the ladder and landed on the top rope on the middle side of the ring and then dove off and landed on her opponents. That looked nice. When Io Shirai was on the top of the ladder and Indy Hartwell pushed her off the ladder and they had all these camera angles set for Io Shirai to take that fall onto that ladder, that looked vicious. And even Indy Hartwell looked like she was like, what did I just do? Holy shit, what did I do? And, you know, it was a lot of repeat moves. You know, someone would climb the ladder, and then they would just be picked up and dropped onto the mat. But phenomenal, phenomenal. For those women, for developmental, again, people expect polished pay-per-view quality, main roster type matches. This is developmental. It's not going to be perfect. You go in with the right expectations. You give these women all the credit in the world for putting their bodies on the line the way they did. And in the end, Toxic Attraction gets the belts. Good for them. I'm just closing out some pictures here to make this a little bit easier, make my stuff a little bit neater. All right. We've had teasers for the last couple of weeks that a mystery wrestler was going to appear. And if you remember my predictions, I said, I think that's a woman. And I looked at that curvy physique and I thought Ember Moon. I thought somebody had to turn on Raquel Gonzalez. We predicted that Mandy Rose was winning that title, and she did. The match was fine. You know, it had its moments, fire extinguisher, Singapore cane. You know, there's one goofy moment where the Singapore cane was like in the lap of Raquel Gonzalez, and the way her hands were, all she had to do was just like push it to the side, would have gotten out of it. But we knew whoever the mystery person was going to be coming out during this match. And sure enough, towards the end of this match, the person is at ringside. And I thought Ember Moon only because of the fact that I didn't see her at the Halloween party. And I said Ember Moon the night before, but when I didn't see her at the Halloween party, I said, okay. Even though I did also say, you know, they just had Ember Moon come out on a motorcycle. It's like, do we need that again? You know, like another repackage? But, you know, maybe, you know, turning on Raquel Gonzalez might be what Ember Moon needs right now. So whoever this person was has a shovel, whacks Raquel Gonzalez in the back. Raquel is pretty much laid out. Mandy Rose gets the win. And then the person reveals themselves. This is a better picture. To be Dakota Kai. Now, I know a lot of you out there did predict Dakota Kai, so props to you. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. Because Dakota Kai, everybody said, was going to the main roster. Yes, she worked a lot of dark matches. And yes, it does feel like WWE changed their mind about bringing her to the main roster. I know some of you would say, well, maybe she was just getting some extra work working dark matches. Yeah, maybe. But it does feel like that WWE was going to bring it to the main roster. And then, you know, the way the women's division is right now on both brands, you know what, let's bring it back to NXT. I honestly feel that that's what happened. So we're going to pick up on this feud again. And maybe this is best for Raquel Gonzalez right now, because you remember what I said on Monday. If Raquel loses, now what? What do you do? So Raquel feuding with Dakota Kai, you know, that kind of forces Raquel Gonzalez away from the title right now. So, and I agree with you, Chris. I think Dakota Kai is better suited in NXT. Nothing wrong with that. But I also feel that she probably really wanted to go to the main roster. I mean, that's what most people's goals are, aren't they? So, Solo Sikoa, oops, I closed this photo by accident. He made his appearance. I told you he dyed his hair blonde. You know, it was funny because I had a few people say to me yesterday, oh, he dyed his hair blonde. I'm like, have you like tuned into like my the last four shows I've done? I've been talking about this for like 2 weeks. Got a lot of Uso chants yesterday, and it was cool because he mouthed the words, you're damn right. Looking in the camera. Look, it's going to be impossible. And I said this yesterday and Mish said it too. It's going to be impossible to hide the fact that he is a brother of the Usos. Unless you put a mask over him and you put an outfit on him like Flash Funk. I mean, seriously, with the tattoos and his facial. I mean, you could make his hair, you know, blonde. And yes, For some people, it might be a tribute to Rikishi. Absolutely. But still, I mean, everybody knows, you know, and if you get a bitch about Bron Breakker not being them using the Steiner name, why aren't you bitching that Sokoa is not allowed to use an Uso name? It's weird how some people with that selective outrage. All right, look, we're going to wrap this up in 5 minutes. Two more matches we got to talk about. And by the way, I have decided as we were doing this, the contest to give away the 3 unsigned photos as one prize, the autographed photo of Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville as a second prize, and the autographed rookie card, which has got a lot of value to it, that'll be the third prize. All you have to do is in the comment section after the show is over, post a comment, and after your comment, just write hashtag Mandy. Not in the chat room, but for my friends in the chat room, if you could be so kind to type hashtag Mandy so everybody could see an example of how it should look. And next Wednesday, live on this show, I will choose randomly 3 people that included that hashtag. And you know the program I use. It is transparent. There's no way to me to cherry pick winners. You do not have to be live to claim your prize. You have the whole week to do so. But if you don't claim it by the following Wednesday, then your prize will be given to someone else. No excuses. So thank you, Charlie Conway. Yeah, that's how you do it. Simple. Pound sign Mandy all together. You all know how to do hashtags. So that is how we'll do the contest tonight. And if you don't want to be part of the contest, post your comments anyway. Just don't include the hashtag. Very simple. MSK losing the tag titles to Imperium. Now, look, these two guys are physical specimens. They work their ass off in the ring. They are incredible performers in the ring. I honestly never felt that much of a connection watching them wrestle. Something about yesterday changed my mind about those two guys. It's not just even their affiliation with Walter. But if you watch that match after it was over, Imperium got a majority of fans in that crowd to cheer them. It's not that they were cheering Imperium to go against MSK. They were appreciating the freaking hard work and the awesome match that they just watched. Just like they do about Legado del Fantasma, who also heals, and they get cheered. You know, MSK, and look, I know some of you out there are begging me to try to incorporate boos of MSK to that girl, Izzy, and her parents, that somehow that's retaliation because MSK were against Izzy being trained at 13 years old. I'm going to say this clearly. Anybody out there that even commented about it or used that to try to throw a statement, you're just as bad as the people claiming that Izzy's parents told people to boo. I mean, just think about how stupid that sounds. Nobody tried to sabotage anybody. We've said on these shows, Soulfly has said it. I think of him the first when I first think about it. We've said it for months and months and months that MSK doesn't seem to get as big of a crowd pop as we almost feel like they should. That's been week after week. There's been weeks where MSK has gotten huge pops, but a lot of times we've heard audible boos. And it wasn't anybody's parents at that time. Fans are allowed to cheer who they want for whatever reason they want. And to turn around and say, wow, these parents are fucked up. No, you're just as fucked up. Try to make it into a controversy. Shut up. And I'm not directed towards anybody tuning in. I'm talking about the people that are using that for tweet fucks. Oh my God, I'm so outraged and this is disgusting. Shut the fuck up. That's my honest opinion on it. MSK lost the tag titles. You know, a lot of people felt that maybe they should have been in NXT a lot longer before winning those tag titles. You have a right to your opinion. I own 2 of MSK's shirts, not because I want them to send me a thank you message privately, but I have the shirts because I support them. I like their work. Those two guys will be on the main roster sooner than later, and they will kick the shit out of it. They are top-tier young stars of tomorrow. But Imperium deserves the acknowledgement, appreciation, and pop for being in the shape that they are, having a great match that they had. They earned those tag titles yesterday. I, in a never in a million years, would have thought that Imperium would have beat them for the belts. After the match was over, I'm like, you know what? I'm glad I was wrong. They won the titles. Good for them. And I'm very curious to see who their next feud will be. So that leaves one final match. Bron Breakker taking on Ciampa. And look, my pick was Ciampa to win. I ignored the noise out there. The era of Breakker, the era of Bron, the era of Rex Steiner, for the people that refused to acknowledge his wrestling name. The problem that you get online, and we did a little predictions contest on Patreon yesterday, and I thought it was the right thing to do since I always do one every month. But I know a lot of people out there chose Bron Breakker simply because there were a lot of websites that were writing exclusive breaking news. Bron Breakker is scheduled to win the title tonight. And what happens there, everybody, is that there are people out there that can't just be fans and journalists at the same time. They can't just be fans and podcasters at the same time. When they are so convinced that a title change is going to happen, instead of just being a fan and making a prediction, they got to turn it into exclusive news. They are so sure that Ciampa will pass the torch. Everything about Triple H's NXT will be officially dead. And they convinced themselves so much that it's definitely happening, they have to now call it breaking news. And all it is their expectations, their guesses, their assumptions, and they were wrong. Bron Breakker, who I have said has been training his entire life to wrestle. There's a lot of people that think that he only started trying to learn how to wrestle once he left football. When you grow up with the Steiners and there's a ring in your house, I guarantee you at 6 years old he was playing around in a ring. I guarantee you we'll probably see whole movies down the line of him wrestling when he was 12, 14, 16, 18 years old. The guy doing Frankensteiners and doing what he did yesterday, the guy needs to develop ring presence, become a ring general. He's got the presence down. He's got the antics down, the facials, the mannerisms, the attitude. But now he's got to be more of a storyteller. And yes, yesterday told an awesome story. It was a flat-out brawl. But he's not ready to be the leader of the developmental company. Ciampa is fine in that role. Bron Breakker won yesterday, even though he lost. He had a great match with Ciampa, and I was very happy that it went off the air without anybody else showing up to try to take away from the outcome. No one should have been angry. No one should have been bitter. No one should be disappointed that Bron Breakker lost. You see this guy is my, and let's be honest too, not everybody in that crowd yesterday was in the camp of Breakker. Ciampa's been killing it in the ring and beating his body, you know, to pieces, trying to, you know, work his ass off to entertain fans. That is appreciated and acknowledged, and it's not deserted simply because Bron Breakker is now the new kid in town, looks amazing, and people want to live vicariously through Bron Breakker. You know, yesterday you had the fun dueling chants, let's go Ciampa, ooh, 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 let's go Ciampa, woo, woo, woo. But audibly, not everybody was in the camp of Breakker. That will change. That will change. No rush. No rush to put that added pressure on that guy. That guy learned a lot yesterday from that match with Tommaso Ciampa. The guy, even though he trained all his life, doesn't have many matches, recorded matches, in the record books. Yesterday was probably his most important match of his wrestling career. And he did a fine job in that match. He will become heavyweight champion. Yesterday was not the right time to do it. So, NXT is a good thing, Sam. It really is. I mean, I watched for 3 months not only people insisting doom and gloom, death, gone, over, awful, Triple H is sitting in the corner like a dunce, but because they dug that hole so deep that they took that stance, they refused to be wrong. And it got to a point where they did not want to be wrong. Even though you saw that, hey, you know, changing the colors, it just shows that we have a whole diverse palette of stars here. And they're going to, and as they learn, they're going to paint this beautiful picture. No, 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 no. Vince is killing NXT. Vince is this and Vince is that. It's just people insisted that it had to fail. They wanted it to. There are people out there that wanted to fail just so they could be right. That is not a wrestling fan. That is a selfish person. I mean, sure, we should all look out for ourselves. You always look out for yourself. That's why I said Charlotte Flair should always look out for Charlotte Flair before anyone else. That doesn't make you not be a team player. You always look out for a number one. You know how many years I looked out for other people and never bothered to look out for myself? That was one thing that people used to say to me back in the day. And it's not even just shows, just in real life. Anthony, you should do things for yourself and stop worrying about everybody else. Stop doing everything for everyone else. Do stuff for yourself. Everybody should look out for themselves. But when you turn around and insist that failure happened to prove yourself right, I didn't want to be right about the Ring of Honor stuff, but anybody with a clear mind that saw it and wasn't afraid to tell it like it is would have realized this. There are a lot of people out there who saw this coming for a while. It should be no surprise. It's still disappointing because you never want to see those that news of a company pretty much about to go under. And you pray and you hope that maybe something miraculously changes. But, you know, there are people out there that just refuse to look at it. And then they cover it up with the, oh, if you really support these wrestlers, go buy their merch. Other feds out there, hire these people. These motherfuckers only worked 6 shows in 2021 or 6 shows since the beginning of 2020. I think it's actually 6 or 7 shows since the beginning of last year. In 2 years, Ring of Honor didn't even do 10 shows. WWE does 10 shows in 1 month. AEW does, well, they do double tapings in one, but AEW does, you know, 4, 6, 8 shows a month. You know, 10 shows in 2 years. And people are acting like these wrestlers were sitting on the sidelines and now they're, you think that they were getting paid a crazy amount of money to just still be officially under contract for 2 years? I don't know. But anyway, let me know what you think about what we talked about tonight. Ring of Honor, AEW, NXT, Halloween Havoc. Let me know what you thought about the shows, how you feel about the Ring of Honor situation. I mean, I hope all those wrestlers do get picked up by other companies. And more importantly, I hope Sinclair sells that promotion to somebody not named Vince McMahon and somebody maybe not named Tony Khan. Unless Tony Khan is willing to keep Ring of Honor open and be like a, I don't want to say developmental for Dynamite or AEW, but as a, you know, like a second company, like an OVW, like a Heartland, like a Florida Championship Wrestling. You want to call it an NXT, call it an NXT. But that's what I think. If Tony Khan was interested at all, but who knows what Sinclair is looking for this. I mean, you got a library that goes back to 2002. you know, if you think that they're going to sell it like WCW money, $4 million, like 2000, you're crazy. I wouldn't be surprised if you hear some outrageous stuff that Sinclair wants like $50 million for the library and the name. Don't be surprised. You hear like an insane number. And who wants to spend that kind of coin? Yes, the library is obvious. I'm sure WWE would contact Sinclair and say, hey, we'd like to buy your library. If they sell that library to WWE, Ring of Honor is worth nothing. What are you going to spend to just buy the name? So you can't even air any of its history. So anyway, I'm out of here, everyone. Much love as always. I'm glad we kept it under 2 hours for the third show in a row. And yeah, we talked a little bit longer, but the Ring of Honor story, if we didn't have to cover the Ring of Honor tonight, we definitely would have been at 90 minutes. But, you know, it definitely deserved to be discussed and discussed in detail. So let me know your thoughts on everything. I hope you're around tomorrow night to join me live for the live stream, the Q&A. It's going to be a fun show. I mean, a lot of live calls, live interaction, and, you know, maybe we'll have a surprise or two. We'll see how it goes. But all of you, if you don't mind, on the way out, if you could do me a solid, smash that like button, you know, tells YouTube that you enjoyed the show, tells me that you enjoyed the show, and I can't wait to make that official announcement. It's probably going to take about a week or two to make the announcement. But contracts are being drafted up, and I'm not exaggerating. Legitimately, a contract is being drafted up. But to actually see that, man, that's awesome. And I can't thank you all enough for standing by my side, because without you, that would not be happening. No. You know, I had to prove a lot of stats, verifiable stats. Without those numbers, wouldn't have got the opportunity. So the fact that you tune in, whether it's YouTube or audio or wherever, you know, it's very, very important to me. And, you know, as long as you stay by my side, I will be here for you too. So, no, Ben, it's not going to be paid subscriptions. It's not going to change much as far as the logistics. The shows will be a little bit shorter. They will be all focused in one source. You don't have to pay, but Patreon will continue. I did ask that I be allowed to have ad-free episodes on Patreon, and I was allowed, and that will be in the contract, that I can keep my Patreon going. So if anybody that's on Patreon just to get ad-free versions of everything, that will continue. YouTube will continue. Live streams will continue. The only thing that's going to change more than anything is that if wherever you tune in live outside of YouTube, once that live stream is over, that live stream will not be online. You will have to download the show just like you normally would. iTunes, my website, wherever it is. So trust me, I can't wait. I can't wait the look on people's faces when they see the other shows that I'm going to be like associated with. It's just an, oh man. I almost DM'd two of the people, you know, just to let them know, but I don't want to jump the gun. Till I have it in my hands and I sign it, you know, I'm super excited. I'm super stoked because they're also going to help get the show, get a lot more exposure as well. So, and the network will be officially the Don Tony Show. So when you see the channel and you see the Don Tony Show, there'll be a lot of sub shows like Breakfast Soup Raw, Wednesday Night Dynamite, the live stream on Thursdays, pay-per-view recaps, but the main channel will be the Don Tony Show. Basically, that's what it's going to be. The Don Tony Universe. So, good night, everybody. Much love. I hope you can join me tomorrow at 10:05 p.m. So, be well. All the best. Stay safe. And yes, I will talk tomorrow about a fourth vaccine that is now going to be available. Will I get the fourth? Because I've already had three. I will let you know tomorrow. Night, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.